The following podcast is brought to you by David Hayes. He is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by David Hayes and his guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and is not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of losing principal. Any tax advice on this show is not intended to be used by any person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties may be imposed on such a person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. David Hayes and his guests are not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities. You're listening to 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win with David Hayes. David has been providing financial advice for over 25 years and is the host of Your Money with David Hayes radio show and podcast. He has been featured in high-level publications such as the Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger's, Fox Business, Forbes, and more. Join your host as he talks about his book, 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win, an Amazon Daily bestseller. And now, here's David Hayes.
Hey, welcome everyone to episode numero uno of 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win. I'm super excited to be doing this podcast. I want you to be so excited that after each episode, you are as excited about the next Yellowstone episode as you are about The Final Drive. We're going to have a ball. It's going to be educational, it's going to be inspirational, and it's going to be actionable. That is my hope, my dream, my goal. As we sit here starting the year 2022, there's only a few years left of these historically low tax rates, and we must take advantage of them now. So where do we start? Well, let's start from the beginning. Why is this so stinking important to me? Why am I obsessed to get the word out, to get you and your family out of the crosshairs of higher taxes coming? And then my friend David McKnight puts it so bluntly, there is a real train headed down the tax track, and it's headed right at all of us. So let's start out with a little history lesson. When my mom was 17, she had my brother Dan. And by the time she was 26, she had four kids and divorced. Unemployed, living at home with my grandma and grandpa. We were on free lunches, food stamps. We had the life, right? Well, my dad at the time was working at my grandpa's restaurant called the Hayes Cafe, of all things. And he tried his hand at real estate for a while. But back in the 70s, interest rates were so high, double digits, right? That didn't go too well. My mom and dad are awesome. My mom and dad are also some of the earliest baby boomers. No one really told them what to do until much, much later to help them prepare for retirement. You know, there were pension plans, right? That was part of the three-legged stool. We all had a pension. We had Social Security. And your personal savings was the other leg, but not really that important because the first two were the rocks to a solid and steady retirement. So here comes along these things called tax-deferred retirement accounts, right? IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and we put money into these things hoping that we could pay taxes at a lower rate in the future. So here's going back to the beginning. How did I get to this point? How did I in the world get to this point of being so passionate about this topic? Well, I wanted to be a math teacher and a football coach. Well, why a math teacher and a football coach? Well, because I was pretty good at math, and I was also pretty good at football. And here's how it all started. When my mom was, again, living with grandma and grandpa, and we were there, and she was unemployed, I was around 8 years old, and she signed me up for football through the boys' club. And I truly believe because of the team I was on, the coach that I had, and the opportunities that he gave me and put me on the path of where I am today. My coach was a cool dude. I write about it in the book, The Final Drive. He had a big Burt Reynolds-style mustache. He said to me one day, "Hey, man, I want you to be my quarterback." Now, he was a doctor, right? Drove a Cadillac. Again, he was a cool, cool dude. In fact, when I sent him a copy of the book, one of his kids texted me and said, "Hey, my dad loved the book, loved the fact you called him cool." But I remember back being so stinking excited about playing quarterback. I remember, you know, running back to, you know, home and telling my brothers, all my friends. And in retrospect, looking back, I remember, listen, I was this kid living with grandma and grandpa on food stamps and free lunches. Surely to goodness, there would be another kid more capable of leading this little team. So I was a quarterback my entire football career and had some decent success. I was a high school quarterback at Edgewood High School on the west side of Bloomington, Indiana, which is where I'm from. I went on to play football at a small college called Greenville, now University, just outside of St. Louis. And I wanted to be a math teacher and a football coach. My coach, my high school coach at the time, said, "Why do you want to be a football coach? Why do you want to be a math teacher?" Well, I told him the same thing that I told you. I thought I was pretty good at math, and I love football. He said, "Why don't you go off and explore college, keep your mind open, and see what happens from there?" So that's exactly what I did. So I went off to football, didn't make the traveling squad right away, which is common with freshmen. So I had a free weekend. I heard this commercial about a personal finance guru, kind of similar to what you might think of a Dave Ramsey of today, but his name was Charles J. Gibbons. And this was in the very early 90s at the time. Late 80s, actually. It would have been 1989 when I showed up at the Charles J. Gibbons workshop in Cincinnati, or St. Louis, pardon me. Dressed up, put a shirt and tie on, went in, because if you're talking about money, you better look good, and that's what I did. Cash flow, debt, investments. I was like, man, this is it. I need to learn about this. I was ate up with it. I was calling my mom, who had a job at the time at a Cook, a medical device company, talking about how to pay off her mortgage, how to put money into retirement, kind of life insurance she might need. Bless her heart, she played along, and thank God she did. After that year, I decided what I wanted to do, and that was to help people make good decisions about money. In our mission statement today with my company, it says we want to inspire the people we touch to do the right things financially for themselves, their families, and their businesses. We will educate, communicate, giving them confidence in our abilities to serve them. So here I sit today, what in my opinion, teaching, educating, and hopefully inspiring some people. So what I am planning to do as part of this podcast is to take my 27 years of experience, countless client meetings to educate you on the big risk in retirement, and number one is taxes. I always ask this question when I stand up in front of a group of people. How many of you believe that taxes will be higher in the future than they are today? And if you're driving down the road, nod your head. If you're sitting listening to this in some other fashion, raise your hand. Maybe both of them up in the air. Raise them up high. Let me tell you a little story that my friend David McKnight shared with us in his book, his best-selling book, right, The Power of Zero. In 2011, a CPA named David Walker appeared on a national radio show and gave a pretty grim prediction and picture of the country's fiscal path. He said, based on this fiscal path we're on, future tax rates would have to double or our country could go bankrupt. He then challenged the listening audience to come up with a reason why. So he started taking calls, and he gave him a hint. He said it was a four-letter word. So here the calls came: debt, wars, even I think kids came after that. I'm like, yeah, maybe make my household go bankrupt, but probably not the country. Or maybe what kids were doing. I don't know what the motivation was. But after a few more guesses, David Walker revealed the answer. He said it's math. M-A-T-H. All right, who's David Walker, right? A lot of crazy people come on the radio, do podcasts, get on the media and, you know, spout out things that are pretty dramatic and shocking. But David Walker, for 11 years, served both under the Clinton and Bush administrations. He served as the Comp General of the United States, and he was the head of the Government Accountability Office. He knew more about the fiscal health of our country than perhaps anybody else. He resigned in 2008. That's a long time ago. And began crisscrossing America to warn us of this problem. Now, he says, to understand the urgency behind my mission, look no further than the mathematical realities facing Social Security. When it was first implemented as part of the New Deal in 1935, the math worked big time based on expected birth rates and life expectancies. This thing would be around forever. It would live in perpetuity. There were an amazing 42 workers putting into Social Security for every one person taking out. In fact, the official retirement age was 65, but the average life expectancy back then was only 62. So if you did make it to 65, it was expected that you would draw on it for a few years and then, yes, die. Not take it for 25 or 30 years. It was never intended to be a retirement program. It was simply insurance against living too long. But then something amazing happened that would change Social Security forever. World War II. Soldiers started coming home and started doing something at the same time, and many of you listening are a product of this, making babies. Great, right? More babies, more workers, more people paying into the system. It all makes sense. This thing is going to be solid. And this would have been true had the baby boomers had as many kids as their parents did, but they didn't. They actually had 32 million fewer kids than their parents, and this is where the math catches up with us. Think about your own family. We've been on a massive trend here in America of not having enough kids. Might be enough for you. I have one kid, right? I didn't do my part. My friend David McKnight, who I quote a lot and use some of his material and push his power of zero concept, he has like 100 kids. I lost track. I think 7. So he did his job. Thank you very much, Mr. McKnight. Now, let's take a look at your own family. My father-in-law was the oldest of 10. He had 3. I have 1. My sister has 2. My brothers have 2. But the math is the math. That's not enough people to prop up this system. Right now, the ratio is less than 3 people paying into Social Security to 1 taking out. And in about 5 years, it's going to be just at 2-1. It's between 2 and 3 now. Right now, we spend about 80 to 90 cents of every dollar we bring in tax revenues to pay for 4 things: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and yes, you guessed it, interest on our debt. And if nothing changes soon, it will be over 96 cents of every dollar. That leaves about 4 cents to pay for everything else. Everything. The Armed Forces, Congress, Department of Education, Energy, SEC, IRS, NASA, just to name a few. So what can we do about this problem? We can only do one of three things. We can cut expenses. That ain't going to happen. Cut benefits. That ain't going to happen. Or raise taxes. Or a combination of a few. Now, why can we not cut expenses? Well, because over 70% of our budget is non-discretionary spending. That's the things we've already promised, like the things I just mentioned. Social Security, Medicaid, interest on our debt. You can't just one day say, hey, I'm going to cut the interest on our debt. Well, you can by keeping interest rates historically low, right? I told someone the other day that at $15 trillion in debt that we were, feels like 100 years ago, now at $30 trillion in debt, but if the interest rate goes from 3 to 1.5, you have double the debt, but the same debt service. The government's not like you and I with a mortgage where you have to pay off principal and interest. It's just interest, right? And they mature and you get a new bond and you pay and you keep going it. So that's how we're doing this thing. We're borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. So you might sit back and think to yourself, taxes could never double, right? Well, let's take a look at the history of the U.S. tax code. We first collected our temporary tax back in 1913. It was pretty harmless. The tax rate was about 7%. But then we were hooked. It was like a drug, man. This stuff's awesome. And it's been nothing short of a roller coaster ride ever since. In fact, if you take a look at the history of taxes from, let's say, 1945 through where we are today in 2021, really going back to 2017 when the tax cuts were implemented and they went into effect in 18, and that, of course, is the story of the book 2025, The Final Drive. It is that metaphor on my football playing and coaching days. Time's ticking, time's running out. The time to go is now. Those 2017 tax cuts are set to expire at the end of 2025, giving us a real opportunity to do something. So let's go back. 1943 rolled around. The highest tax rate was 94% on people earning over $200,000 or more per year. But no one made that kind of money, right? Well, it's interesting. This is a story I've heard several times from different people. But you know one, actor turned politician? Yes, Ronald Reagan did. In fact, he would get paid $100,000 per full feature film. So guess what? He would only make 2 a year. Otherwise, he would only keep 6 cents of what he earned over that. And I always laugh. Now, I don't think tax rates were as high in California as they are today, obviously, but my joke is, well, then he lived in California, so he probably had to pay even more, but who knows? Let's flash forward to today. After the tax cuts went into effect, our top rate is 37%, with the lowest bracket at 10, and for some people, it's zero. So what's the Congressional Budget Office say every single year? Well, they say it every year. Here's our recommendation for tax rates. And guess what, folks? Yes, they are double. They're double, 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 always. And for skeptics out there who think, oh, who cares about that? That only hits the rich people. Well, the history says that when top rates go up, the bottom rates go up as well. In fact, if you go back from 1960 to 63, the lowest marginal rate was 20%, the middle was 69%, and the highest was 91%. I love doing this. I have a copy of my mom's tax returns right here. H&R Block, 1973. Only with Bob Knight era from Bloomington, Indiana, IU basketball, if any of you guys are big fans. I was just a little tot at the time. I was born in 1970, so let's call me three. Yeah, that's pretty good math. My brother Mark is one year younger. My oldest brother is 3.5 years older. So at this point, there were three dependents, right? And I'm looking here, and each dependent received a $500 tax deduction. There was a $2,000 standard deduction. And at this point, they had a job, RCA, you know, there was jobs at this point. They actually had some money. They were making $16,000 a year after those deductions. They paid $2,627 in federal tax, or yes, you guessed it, 20%. So to my point, everyone will pay the bar tab on this enormous amount of debt that we've been collecting as Americans. So as I've always said, I love to borrow stories, especially from Dave McKnight, and it's okay to borrow a story if you give them credit. Now, if you don't give them credit, you stole the story. Now, joke after joke after joke, right? Well, everyone made it up at some point. So here we go. There is a great story in David McKnight's book, The Power of Zero. If you've not read the book or Look Before You Lurp or all of his great books, please go to davidmcknight.com and check it out. So in his very first book, he talks about the idea that if you don't know history, it's deemed to repeat it. So he talks about the Road Runner episodes. Like when we were kids watching The Wile E. Coyote, he was trying to do something to nab the Road Runner. Yes, he was building a bomb made by, you guess it, Acme, of course, inside the shed. What he didn't realize was the Road Runner saw him doing it. And he pushed the shed onto the train tracks. Well, at the very last minute, the Wile E. Coyote sees the train coming. It was about to hit him. So what would you do? If you were on those tracks and the train was about to smoke you, you'd jump off, right? Well, when the coyote sees this, he just simply pulls down the window shade and thinks by ignoring it, it would make the problem go away. But did the problem go away? Of course not. The train hits the shed, the big explosion goes off, and the Wile Coyote doesn't die, of course, but he does limp off all banged, bruised, and burnt. We are really no different than the Wile E. Coyote. As Americans, we have been accustomed to investing in tax-deferred accounts like IRAs and 401ks like my mom, my dad, the very first of the baby boomers. Now, we all find ourselves standing on the tracks of that very real train bearing down on us, and it's coming in the form of higher taxes. Given this fiscal reality, you have one of two options, or you have two options total. Do nothing, which is not an option in my opinion, but doing nothing is a decision. Pretend like the problem doesn't exist, pull down your window shade, or do what we're going to do on this program, this podcast, talk to you about implementing proven strategies that can help move all of us from those train tracks. The question I always ask people is, let's make some sense of this. I studied accounting, and they told us, listen, defer, defer, defer. Don't pay that tax until you absolutely have to. Well, and I'm kind of stepping back and saying, when do you want to pay the tax? At the latest possible time? Or pay it at the lowest possible rate? I'm not a genius, but I'm thinking to myself, at the lowest possible rate. Your IRA, your retirement accounts have a lien against it from the IRS. A debt against it. It's called taxes. You can pay it off now at a known rate or roll the dice and pay it off later at an unknown and likely, not just likely, it's we went from a mathematical possibility to an absolute probability that taxes will be higher. You can roll the dice. I always say, hey, listen, you have a partner in your retirement account, and it's the IRS. You put all the money in. You put it all in. Maybe your employer kicked a little bit in. And right now the IRS comes up and says, hey, old Dave, man, I know you saved a lot of money in that retirement account, and you've done, the market's done good, and guess what? It's worth $1 million. And I'm like, woohoo, $1 million. And he says, okay, here's the deal I'm going to make. You can pay me off now at 37%, and I'll walk out of your life, and you'll never hear from me again. Or you can just roll the dice, and I'll come back to you later. And you say, you know what? I'm not paying you 37%. And on top of that, I got to pay the state of Indiana, state of California, or if you're fortunate enough to live in Florida or Texas or Nevada or some other place where they are, wherever states don't pay tax, you can get away with that. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice. So let's flash forward to 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 years, whenever you need the money. And you say, hey, IRS, come over here. I'm ready to pay you off. Here is your 37%. And you hold your hand out, right? Trying to make a deal. And they say, 37%? David, you're nuts. It's now 63. It's now 72%, whatever it might be. And you have no control over that. So you put your hand back in your pocket and say, well, I can't afford to pay you now. I'm going to have to wait. And they say, but wait, there's more. Guess what? We're going to make you start taking the money out and paying us the tax. It used to be 70.5. Now it's 72. You're like, really? Well, how much? We'll tell you when it gets to that point. Right now, we know what the rule is, but we don't know what it's going to be when it comes to your time to take money out. How easy would it be for the IRS to say, you didn't know how much you were supposed to take out anyway, so we're going to double it. Right now, we use something called the uniform table. It assumes you have a spouse 10 years younger, and you may or may not, but that's the table they use. So when you get to the point of taking out distributions, they say, what was your balance? Divide it by 27.2, and that's how much you have to take out. Well, that's only 3.65% of my account balance. That's not too bad. And it doesn't even get to 5 until you get around 80. But what if they came back and said, you know what? We're not going to let you do that. It's your account, not her account or his account. So we will do the single table. Well, what's that? 16.8 years. And guess what? That just more than, blows out 30%+ more income that you have no control over. So we are going to take time and only give you nuggets, right? So next episode, again, I want you to look forward to it like you look forward to the next Yellowstone episode, like I am for this week. And we want you to say, okay, I'm ready to learn more. So my goal is each and every week to keep you hungry, to inspire you to move on to that next episode. We're going to blow them out here in January of 2022. And hopefully, God willing, I'll be here with you all the way through the end of 2025 and be with you as tax laws change, because I love to share this story when this was introduced to us as Americans, which is Social Security back in 1936, right, when it was first introduced under the New Deal. Here's what it says when it comes to paying your part of the tax. It says, during the next 3 years, beginning January 1st, 1937, you, David, yes, you, will pay 1 cent for every dollar you earn. And at the same time, your employer will pay 1 cent for every dollar you earn, up to $3,000 a year. Best part, the last line, it says, this is the most you'll ever pay. Folks, we got to get on with this thing. So I hope you enjoyed episode one. I wanted to tee you up for what I'm going to call a journey that we will take together all the way through December of 2025, when the current tax rates expire. And at a minimum, they go back to where they were. But that doesn't keep us up at night. It's those massive, massive, massive debt and tax piles that we are facing. So have a great time, everybody. Look forward to the next episode of 2025, The Final Drive. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The clock is ticking. Each decision that is made today will put more money into your pocket or leave you worried about your financial future. The time to prepare is now. The time to eliminate risk was yesterday. Let's partner to help those around us to make decisions that empower their financial future. If you would like to book David for a speaking event, please contact CFC at cfci.us. You can purchase his book, 2025 The Final Drive, by going to www.cfci.us and clicking on 2025 The Final Drive.